And so they went out there to celebrate with them, and I think that's pretty awesome, 50 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. You guys do an awesome job. Praise God. So we send our blessings out to them, and I hope their time of fellowship with their family is rich and refreshing for them also. Amen. Amen. Well, just a couple announcements tonight before we get started. Barnabas Group this Saturday, we're going to have, invite anybody, any men you know that want to come, invite them. There's going to be a missionary from China. Don't know if he'll be speaking or what, but he's going to be there, so show up. You never know what's going to happen. It'll be good. Good food, good fellowship, good word. And also, there's something the pastor wanted me to mention. It's called the Men's Courageous Commitment. On Father's Day, he's inviting all men to have an opportunity to make a public declaration of commitment to resolve to be a man of courage, and this will be on Saturday or Sunday. Excuse me, June 17th for Father's Day. He suggests that nobody enters into this lightly because it's a serious thing. It's a public and formal commitment, and there's a small fee involved. You can find information back on the table. I don't know if you've all seen the Courageous video. Well, it's a good video. So it's the same commitment they made in the back of the video. Why are you smiling? It's good to smile. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Also, the offering container is in the back, or the seed planter, as we call it. You're free to give anytime during the service, after the service. We like to give you as much of an opportunity to give as you can. And giving is important to God, and it's part of His plan to meet the needs of His ministers, of His body, the church. To help the poor, to meet the basic necessities of this facility for the upkeep, for the maintenance. So giving, without giving, we won't go too far. So God says He'll bless you when you give. Amen. He said, everyone's familiar with Malachi, and we always turn to that, but He said, bring your tithes into the storehouse that there might be food in my house. And He said, to test me. He will not open up the heavens, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing until it overflows. So that's His promise to us, and He said, prove me, and He'll do that for you. And Jesus also mentions about giving. He talked about giving a lot, and He said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. So giving's part of God's economy, part of God's plan. It's how it helps His kingdom progress. So feel free anytime. And let's see here. Also, if you don't know, the month of May is the month of renewing the mind. And so I'm going to touch on that just a little bit tonight. I just felt like I wanted to touch on that. It's not the main focus of my sermon, so it's kind of like a rabbit trail beforehand. Yeah. If it happens. But the key text of Scripture that addresses the subject of renewing your mind is Romans 12, 1 through 3. And Paul's writing, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we see that it's not until our minds are transformed that we're able to prove that perfect and acceptable will of God. It's when we understand God's will, when our minds get transformed to think the way He thinks, see the way He does things, and we're able to walk that out in this earth. We're able to prove it. We're able to prove His good will. So renewing the mind helps us to fulfill the plan of God in our lives and in this earth. And without the renewing of the mind, you won't be transformed. So you never really fully develop in Christ. You'll never be conformed to His image. You'll never grow up in Him in all things like we're supposed to. and it won't cause the plan of God to be fulfilled in your life, in this local church, or even in the earth. So transforming by the renewing of your mind is key. And typically how that occurs is through prayer and meditation and reading the Word. Because as you spend time with God and spend time with His Word, you start to think like God thinks. And your thinking gets readjusted to line up with His thinking. And you start seeing things the way He sees things. And you start seeing others the way He sees others. And that transformation process builds unity and agreement in the body, which is key. It helps us become of one mind. See, we're supposed to be in unity, pulling the same direction, so to speak. And without us renewing our minds, we'll never find that unity that we need to find to be healthy and fruitful. Paul prayed, he said, he prayed for believers that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, because they needed to be enlightened. Because we came out of a world, we had our own thought patterns, our own processes. We, you know, simple things like, I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me, or I'm going to do bad to you if you do bad to me, or you got to stab the other guy in the back to get ahead. I don't believe anyone here thinks that, but that's some of the thoughts out in the world. But is that how God sees things? Is that how God wants us to act? Is that how He wants us to think? No. Well, how do we know the difference? How do we know how we're supposed to act and react and be and live in this earth? Well, the Word of God teaches us that. And so by the continual renewing, our mind gets changed. We start being transformed into His image. We start walking in unity as a body, because now we're all thinking the same way. We're all seeing things the same way, God's way. And it brings unity and agreement in the body. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That's only going to happen if we're on the same page, so to speak. And that only occurs when we start renewing our mind to the Word. And then we can be in that agreement, and we can be of that same judgment. And unity is a powerful thing. They were all in one accord in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out. And I don't mean by that a Honda Accord. And so that unity. And in 2 Corinthians 13:11, Paul also says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind." There it is again, one mind. "Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." And that one mind means we're in one agreement, we're in one judgment, we're seeing things the same. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, concerning agreement, I just want to talk on that. I just wanted to touch on that, because this is the month of renewing the mind, so I wanted to put that out there. But renewing the mind affects it affects how you see God, what you can believe God for, what you believe His will is. If your mind ain't transformed, you're never going to fully understand what that perfect and good and acceptable will of God is. And it talked about being in agreement, and if we're in agreement, there's power in that agreement. Jesus said, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven." Now, to agree, you have to be in agreement, correct? I mean, that's kind of redundant. So if I wanted to go to you in prayer, or I wanted you to join me in this prayer of agreement, we would have to agree what we were praying on. But if you didn't see things the way I saw things, or you didn't know the will of God like I knew the will of God, we wouldn't be able to step into this agreement. And if we are in that accord and in that agreement, He said that whatever we ask, He'll do it for us. That's pretty powerful. So that's key to renewing our mind and getting an agreement is having prayers come to pass like this. I just want to give you a real-life illustration of that. I got back from Africa in, I think, 1986, and it was maybe somewhere after the new year, going into 87. I was at church I was driving around one night, and I was just seeking the Lord about what to do with my life. And I heard him speak to me and say he wanted me to learn to fly. So I thought, well, that's different, you know. So I was telling a friend at church this, and I looked at some different schools where I want to go, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself because I do want to talk tonight about the Holy Ghost said, or how God speaks to us and how he leads us. But I'll just keep on this track, and then I'll switch gears. So I looked at different schools, and I did, you know, research like you would. Well, who offers flying? What colleges are local? You know, God, where do you want me to go? And I kind of just sensed it should be this college around Trenton, New Jersey. So I got together with my friend, and I said, look, I'm going to go up to this school, and I'm going to enroll. And when I go up there, this was a Sunday night, and I said, when I go up there Monday, I don't want my trip to be fruitless. I want it to be fruitful. I want to find a place to live. I don't want to waste my time. So we entered this prayer of agreement, and we prayed that when I went up there, I would find a place to live in that one trip. I believed it. We agreed it. God said he'd do it, and it was settled pretty much as far as I was concerned. So I got up Monday, and I made the hour drive north up to Trenton, and I went to the college, and it was a community college. So they didn't really have a housing plan and some housing department, nothing really big, just a few flyers that some people stuck around saying I have a room for rent or something. And they had a telephone book. And I spent all day there, and there was nothing. You know, I bought a paper coming up, and I think I left that in my car. And they said, sorry, you're going to have to leave. It's 4 o'clock. We're closing for the day. This was the summertime, so it was a very slow period. And they weren't very busy. So I walked out of there, and it was a nice day. And I'm just going out to my car in the remote parking. And all of a sudden, this voice says to me, that faith stuff doesn't work. You know, because I didn't get my room. And he said, well, why don't you just go waste your time doing this thing or that thing, some carnal thing. And he just chattered a little bit till I got to my car. And then I got in my car, and I shut the door. And then just something rose up inside me, and I rebuked him. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. My God's word is true, you know, and I went through that. And all of a sudden, and I have to backtrack a little bit here, I had a 1976 Olds Delta 88. It's a boat, if you remember that terminology. You could fit four across the front seat comfortably. It was beautiful. It had a 350 four-barrel, four-door. I liked that car. And so, you know, you couldn't even touch, you couldn't even reach over to lock the door. I mean, that's how far it was. So I get in this big car of mine, and I shut the door, and I'm just, and the presence of God fills my car, and I'm just, I rebuke the devil, and I start praising God, and then I look over at the newspaper that I bought to help me find somewhere. And you know the print and the classifieds, it's little 1-inch by 1/2-inch block, and the font's like a 3, maybe. So that's all the way on the other side of my car. And after I got done rebuking the devil and praising the Lord, I turned. And a little tiny 1-inch by 1/2-inch block lifted up off of that paper and expanded that big in midair. And I could read it. I guess that's what you call a vision. And I read it, and it was a room for rent. And I said, wow. So I grabbed the paper, ran over to the payphone that was in the parking lot, dialed the phone number. That's when they had payphones. You dropped a quarter in, and I dialed it, and this guy answers, says, hello. I says, yeah, I'm calling about the room you have for rent. I'm interested in it. And then that same voice that was telling me faith is a waste of time said, oh, this guy's said some words I don't really want to use, but he was trying to dissuade me from pursuing this. And I said, shut up. My God wouldn't send me to a house that was, you know, and I named what he was saying. So he went left again, and I finished talking to the guy, and he gave me directions. So I drive, and the house is sitting off of Main Road, Route 130 in New Jersey, and it's sitting about 50, 75 yards back. So I'm going down this long driveway, and there's a little old green Volkswagen Beetle stuck in the very back, and I'm pulling up closer and closer and closer, and there's a bumper sticker on it. And as I get closer and closer, it says, "Jesus is Lord." I said, "Wow." So I'm getting all excited, you know? And I go in and meet this guy, and we talked, and we're sitting in the dining room and chatting, and I'm looking around at all the pictures he has, and I see a picture of a couple, a guy helping a girl out of a van, and on the side of the van is the name of a school. In the school, it said Rhema Bible Training Center. Now I got to back up again. When I got back from Africa in 86, I was sitting around my parents' house in the living room, was reading, I guess, the Bible or something, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "I want you to go to Bible school. I want you to go to Rhema Bible Training Center." I didn't even really know what Rhema Bible Training Center is or was. When I got to Africa, actually, one of the Nigerians handed me my first Kenneth Hagin book. So that was the first time I was introduced to any of his literature. And so when I got back home, the Lord said he wanted me to go there, and I knew nothing about it. Well, here was a van with that school's name on it. I went, "Wow, who are these people?" He said, "That's my sister and brother-in-law. They're graduates of that Bible school, and we go to church here, and the pastor's a Rhema grad." And I'm like, "Wow." So, of course, I get the room, and I study my flying. I start going to church there and have good fellowship with those grads. And they were instrumental in hooking me up with the regional RMAI, Rhema Minister Alumni Association International. He pastored a church out in Toms River, New Jersey. He signed my packet to go to school, and off I went to Rhema eventually. But I said all that just to say that if we weren't in agreement and we didn't pray that prayer and we didn't believe, and I would have went up there, and then I would have caved in to the devil. And not, you know, he tell me that faith stuff didn't work, but I held fast to what the Word said. And God led me to not only a nice place to stay, but put me in touch with people who graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center, which he just previously, 6 months earlier, told me he wanted me to go to that school. I mean, that's pretty awesome. God is awesome. He's good. Amen. So that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, the way God leads us. What the Bible says about the way God leads us, and how he, some people don't even think, well, even some Christians I would dare to speak don't think God's really interactive or interacts with them in life. But he does. He does on a personal level, for instance. Open vision. That freak, I'd never seen nothing like that in my life. That was pretty awesome. I mean, I was jazzed. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And God helped me get me to the place he wanted me to be and to fulfill his will for my life and his purposes for my life. So I guess I'm titling this The Spirit Said, or Being Led by the Spirit, or I guess The Spirit Said sounds good. Being led by the Holy Spirit is vital to our individual life as well as to the corporate life of the church. It is in these leadings that we fulfill the will of God for our lives. And it's God's word that gives us instruction on how to conduct ourselves in this life. And we know that it says godliness is profitable unto all things. And so God, before Jesus left, he promised, he said he'd give us a comforter. And this comforter would do a lot of things for us. He would live in us. God present in us. That's amazing. If you just sit there and think about that for a while, that the creator of heaven and earth is living and dwelling in me by his spirit, by his Holy Spirit. So Jesus knew, God knew beforehand that we're going to need help in this walk down here. So Jesus said to his disciples, you know, "I'll give you another comforter who will lead you into all truth and show you things to come." So this comforter is supposed to communicate to us. He's supposed to lead us into truth. Jesus said he won't speak of himself, but he'll take that which is mine and show it unto you. So he's the one who reveals Christ to us, and that's kind of part and parcel to renewing your mind, because as he reveals Christ to us through his word and through when we fellowship and commune with him, we're being transformed because we're seeing Christ and who we're to be like. It's like, was that James that said, like an open face beholding in a glass? Good, I'm glad you're nodding because I didn't know if I had that one. Books. I'll just go with books and not verses tonight on some of them. But yeah, so it was, as we behold as an open face, as a behold in a glass, we see we're changing that image from glory to glory. And then so that's the Spirit's job to reveal that to us through His Word and through His communication with us so we can be changed. And He said He'll show us things to come, which is nice to know, things about the church, things about your life, things down the road maybe to avoid or things to take advantage of, but things to come. Now, the Word doesn't specifically talk to us about the finite details of our life. It doesn't tell us who to marry, where to go to school, what job to take, where to live. It tells us how we should live by the Spirit, by faith, by love. It gives us guidance so we can renew our minds and start proving that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But it doesn't, like I said, tell us some of the more specific details of our lives. And I think this is key for us to really see the body of Christ come together and to perform and grow up and to do the will of God. So how do we find these things out? Like I said before, it's by seeking the Lord in prayer and by studying and meditating on His Word that we get guidance from His Spirit. And this guidance comes in several ways. It comes in dreams, it comes in visions, it comes in the Holy Ghost saying. But most commonly, for most of us, I would say it comes in that inward voice. Now, that inward voice, Paul said, my conscience bears with me in the Holy Ghost. And 1 John, it says, we have the witness that we are the sons of God. That witness tells us we're God's children. It's kind of like, you know, if your conscience, if you do something wrong, you go, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. That's kind of your conscience. Some people say the conscience isn't a safe guide, but for believers that are seeking God and full of God's Spirit and renewing their mind, it is a safe guide because the Holy Spirit speaks to you through your spirit. That's how He communicates to us. God is Spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Now, God can talk to you audibly if He so chooses, and we have record of that in the Word, but it's not typical. He can talk to you through dreams and visions, and that's in the Word plenty. But it's not typical. I mean, we're not having like 20, 30 dreams a day and 80 visions. I mean, I haven't had too many of them visions, but they're awesome when they happen and they serve a great purpose. So we stay on track. They're a sign, a wonder that they help us complete the will of God, fulfill the will of God. But the main way He would lead us is that inward witness, that kind of, I've heard people describe it as a green light or as a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, or just your something that says, yeah, this is good. This is the way I should go. This is what I should do. Like I said, Romans 8:16 says the Spirit itself, or Himself, it should say, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I said that was 1 John. That was incorrect. So His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. And you know that when you get born again. You get that knowledge in that sense. And that's the Spirit of God. Right here it says so, bearing witness with your spirit. Let's see here. I couldn't have gone through all my notes that quick. Nope, just put them in reverse, that's it. So that's probably the main way God would lead us. You might have also heard that still small voice. Just something like oftentimes when the Lord would speak to me and say, like, I want you to go to Bible school, it would be words. It wouldn't be like a witness, like, yeah, this is the way I should go. But they would actually be, I could hear words, but not loud, not audibly, but just down in here. Because God is, that is how He's going to communicate to us. That is how, what Jesus said He sent the Spirit for. And that's how He's going to, first and foremost, reveal His Word to you. As you're reading that Word, He's going to be the one teaching you about that word. You're reading that word, and all of a sudden, light's coming. That's the Spirit of God bringing light and illumination to your heart, to your spirit. And that's how God communicates to us as born-again believers, typically. And you'll find that out. So the more you study Word and spend time in the Word, the more familiar you become with that teacher who's teaching you about the Word, who's taking the things of Christ and showing them unto you. And so you're getting acquainted with him, and he's your teacher, and he's your guide. And then when he starts moving in other directions, you have more confidence that, yes, this is that same spirit I know that tells me about Christ. Like it was the Spirit of God that moved upon Jesus to make spittle out of mud to put on a guy's eyes. You know, you got to be hearing from God before you be doing something like that. Well, we know Jesus had perfect union with God, so he heard him clearly. But us, growing up in him, we have to become acquainted and familiar, and we're taught and we learn. Sometimes we don't always get it right, but it's God's whole heart that we understand how to hear him and how to be led by him. Don't be making no spittle and bringing it up here. He did. So first and foremost, the witness inside. And it's a safeguard. As you spend time, like I said, meditating on the Word and fellowshipping with God and in prayer, you can trust that. Often we see, especially in the book of Acts, dreams and visions. I mean, when Peter quoted Joel's prophecy, didn't quote it exactly, but when he, I guess would say paraphrased it, he said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So he was preparing us for what lie ahead. He was telling us these things are going to happen. And so God, I guess that thing floating in the air, I would call that a vision. I wouldn't know how else to describe it. So I had a vision, a mini vision. Like Brother Hagin used to say, an M-I-N-I, a little, I guess mini because it didn't last too long, I don't know. But that's, so in fact that happened and it was said that it would happen is just proof of the will of God. It's proving, in this case, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, that covers everything, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, all aspects of our walk and our life and our relations. But tonight I'm just focusing on a small piece of that, communicating with God or how he communicates to us. I just wanted to make that clear, emphasize that point. Now, for instance, speaking of the Holy Ghost said in Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So here's God giving them specific direction for their lives and ministry. And he's speaking, he's saying to them. Now, it doesn't specifically say here whether it was audible or whether he spoke to them inside, which sometimes almost sounds audible. But he said to them, so the Holy Ghost said, and in Acts 8:29, then the Spirit said, so here we go, here's the Holy Spirit saying, he's saying something else. He said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So him speaking to Philip to join himself to the chariot gave Philip the direction he needed to minister to that eunuch. The eunuch got baptized. And he went back, and I think he was a eunuch to the eunuch? That's the word. Just sounds weird. I don't say it too often. He was to the queen. So he had some very high-level people he could talk to and witness to about Christ now. And that's kind of like God saying to me, go to that house to get a room. He didn't he showed me a vision instead. But Acts 10:19. Well, Peter thought on the vision. This is a twofer, I'll call it. So Peter had a vision. Y'all know the story. Peter's up on the housetop praying at Simon the tanner's house by the seaside. And he gets this vision of a sheet being let down with all kinds of unclean food. It was taken up, let down, taken up thrice, you know. And he was a Jew, and they didn't eat unclean food. That was the law. And God was trying, this is ties into with renewing your mind. God was trying to show him, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean, because now the gospel is going to go to the Gentiles. Well, that was a big transformation of their thinking, because for the longest time they were said, we don't associate with these people. These people are not clean. So they had to be transformed. And that instruction, that guidance, not only came through a vision, then as Peter was thinking about the vision, it said, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. So God spoke to Peter through a vision to teach him, and then he spoke to him to instruct him, let him know some people were waiting for him. And God wants to speak to us the same way today. And Paul, he was out preaching. He was going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every living creature. And he was going to go over here and go over there, but he was forbidden, so to speak. And he had a dream, a vision, of a man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help me. So he was getting instruction and guidance through a vision. And then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. So God speaks to us by visions. And he said, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. And that was Acts 18:9. So my point on what I'm trying to get across is God has to communicate with us if we're to go where he wants us to go, do what he wants us to do, meet the people he wants us to meet, say the things he wants us to say for his glory, to bring his kingdom in manifestation on the earth. And so it's so important to know and hear. You know what, I think I ran out of notes, but I got something I'm going to share real quick. It's just along the lines of personal experience that lines up with the word. I was staying in South Jersey, and I had to come back up to Levittown to take care of some personal business, because that's where I grew up, and now I was relocating down to South Jersey. So I took the train up. I don't think I had a car. I don't know what happened to the car. I think it got run over by a waste removal truck or something. And it was like an accordion. That's a whole other story. God spared me out of that. I was in the car when it happened. But anyway, I was up in Levittown, and so I had to take the train from Wilmington, Delaware, up to the Philadelphia, switch to a SEPTA train up to the Levittown station. In those days, I hitchhiked. So I'd get on Levittown Parkway and go thumbing it and get a ride and witness as I went and lead people to the Lord and take care of my business and hitchhike back to the train station. And it was dark. And there was by the train station was Levittown Shopping Center across Route 13. And I was, now this was the last train, I knew the schedule, this was the last train at night to catch, to get me to Philly, to get me to Wilmington, Delaware, to get the bus over the Delaware Memorial Bridge to Pennsville, New Jersey, so I could get home. So it's dark on the platform, and there's the conductor standing by the train, and I think there was a couple people off. And I was remembered explicitly. Excuse me. I grabbed the rail, put my first foot on the step, and the Lord said, don't get on. Now, had I not known the voice of the Lord from spending time meditating and fellowshipping, I would have thought, what? Don't get on. I got to get home. This is the last train, you know? So I just stopped there and I stood at mid-stride and the conductor's going, well, you're going to get on? And I said, no, I'm not. So I stepped off and I thought, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? So I'm standing there, and I saw a couple people standing, like I said, over there. So I thought, well, he wants me to witness to them. So I go over, and I share the gospel with them. And I got done, and I was like, well, no, that's not it. And it's some of the interesting ways God will lead you. All of a sudden, I got a hankering for pistachios. And I looked up over Route 13 to the Levittown Shopping Center, and there's an Acme. And I said, I'm going to go up to the Acme and get pistachios. So I got my mind set, and I'm trucking, and I go in, and these are the old stores where you stepped on the mat and the door swung open, and those kind of sensors. And so I went into the nut section, and guess what? No pistachios. I was like, oh. So I'm coming out of the store, and the door, it was kind of like the building was cut, and the door went out just to the side like this, and the parking lot was over here. But the presence of God was just on me, so great. And I walked out that door, and I stopped, and I said, Lord, I don't care where I am as long as I'm in your presence. And it's just, his presence is so wonderful. And I said that. Pistachios, they were out of my mind at that point. And I turned, and there was right there parked was a lady with her hood up. And I said, ma'am, you having car difficulties? Yeah, something's wrong with my car. And so I went over and was helping her out, and we got it running. I forget exactly what was wrong. And then she started opening up to me, just talking. She was ready to commit suicide. She was telling me how her children were so abusive to her and driving over it. She had a bottle of pills. Wow. And I said, no, don't do that. And I shared the gospel with her and prayed with her. And I had a friend in that neighborhood who was a lady who could minister to her. So I hooked her up with that lady, took the pills. And I went, wow, God cared about that woman to keep me from getting on my train. And if I wouldn't have known his voice and wouldn't have been obedient, I'd have been down the road on the train, and who knows what would happen to that lady. So after I got her squared away, I went back down to the train station, got the next train, ended up in Wilmington, but no more buses. I'm like, oh, I hardly had any money in my pocket. So all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you want to share a cab with me? I'm like, okay. So I get in the cab, and then we take that guy to his place, and I tell the driver I need to go over the bridge, and he's telling me it's going to be a lot because I'm going out of state over the bridge, yada, yada. And I'm like, looking at my $10 in my pocket, I ain't going to cut it. So he didn't charge me the share fare with that guy, which they do because I'm riding too. He just charged that guy his fare, and he said, I'll just start charging you from here. I said, all right, thanks. And we were talking, and then he got halfway over the Delaware Memorial Bridge and says, guess what? I'm not going to charge you from this point forward. I'm going to leave my meter running just to let you see how much it would cost you, but I ain't going to charge you. It was like 10 bucks, just what I had in my pocket. So he took me all the way over the bridge, all the way down Broad Street in Pennsville, and let me out, and I gave him my 10 bucks, and I told him thanks. And I'm sure I was witnessing to him while I was in the cab. I just had a tendency to do that all the time. And that's amazing. I went from saving a lady's life and giving up my only known way home that I knew, and then because I was obedient, not only did that lady get ministered to, but God made sure I got all the way home. And I'm like, wow, praise God. It's awesome. So it's so important to know that voice. So important to know how to be led, how he speaks to you. Like I said, there's different ways that he does speak. And most commonly, a lot of times it'll just be, yeah, this seems like the right thing to do. Other times you might hear a still small voice inside you, like words. Like, don't get on the train. Okay. Then other times you might hear something really loud inside you, and I guess I would just call that the not the still small voice, but the really loud voice, like the Holy Ghost, which I've experienced too. And I'll tell you, you don't miss that. And usually that's because it's something critical God wants to make sure you hear. And anyway, I could share all kinds of testimonies like that for hours. I mean, God is just awesome. And I knew firsthand, I didn't know any better when I got born again. Me getting born again was awesome, supernatural, spectacular to begin with. But I didn't even go to church really I started going a couple months after I got born again, but I just got a Bible and I read it and I read it and I read it and I read it. And people at work were going, my best friends were asking me, we were like this. They're going like, what's wrong with you, man? What are you on? I'm like, I'm on Jesus, because that's how precious he was. That's how real it is. That's how. And I, anyway, that was my heart. I want everyone to know that there is a vital, living, communicating experience, life that we can have with God that he wants to have with us. That if we don't really tune into that, we're missing out on such, anyway, just, you know, wonderful fellowship, wonderful insight, wonderful things that he wants to do. And we probably won't really get to the place we need to get to in God and see his will done in the earth. So I encourage you all, just keep staying in the Word. Keep staying in his presence. Be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. Be quick to act. I believe the pastor's been opening up to that. Hey, if somebody wants to speak, speak. If you feel like running around, run around. This is the safest place to, I guess, learn, to listen. No one's going to ridicule you. You might do something silly. I don't want to tell you some of the silly things I did. You thought spittle was funny. I'm not going to tell you about. Anyway. No. That's for another time. Anyway. God does talk. The Holy Ghost says. The Holy Ghost speaks, and he wants to speak in our lives. And he wants to have such a wonderful fellowship with all of us and a communion with all of us. And he wants to lead us in all the affairs of our life, to glorify him, to establish his kingdom, but to bless us too and to bless others. He's love, and love does that. So anyway, I'm done. I'm going to pray. And after that, you're dismissed. You can hang out, fellowship. Did I miss anything? Anybody have anything to say? Spittle. Hey, praise God. By the grace of God, amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity. Thank you for your word, your precious word, your precious spirit, your presence in our lives. The wonderful name of Jesus, all that you've given to us in Christ, let us understand it more fully day by day. Let us hear your voice more clearly day by day. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You thought I was going to do that song, right? Yeah. More clearly day by day. Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh. Now? I won't have a story for next time. You know, I'll share that sometime. I just don't really. But he delivers. God delivers. Amen. And saves to the utmost. Oh, he did. Yes. He did. He speaks. The Holy Ghost speaks. I'm think I'm going to hold off on that. Yeah, I think I'm done. I'm done. Hallelujah. Thank you for all coming. Bless you. And you're dismissed. I guess that's... Amen.